Pakistan picks a veteran to run its shattered economy.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. Pakistan's election will put Nawaz Sharif back in power, his third time in the chair. But what about the economy? Agence France-Presse is reporting that the incoming administration has chosen an old hand to become Pakistan's finance minister. Ishtiaq Dar has served in that job twice before. The BBC's Pakistan correspondent Shazeb Jilani joins us to talk about Pakistan's top economic challenges.
Well, economy is a major challenge for the new government because in the last 5 years, President Zardari was accused of not paying any attention to economy. Most people agree that it was mismanaged. Pakistan is caught in a cycle of low growth, high inflation. We have high unemployment as well.
Now, the Pakistani economy domestically is dominated by agriculture, but in terms of export sales, it's what? Garment factories, textiles?
Textiles. And you're right. It is basically an agriculture economy. And so, Pakistan's economy is resilient. You know, it's farmers, it's poor people work hard. But it's the structural problems in our economy that haven't been addressed over a period of years. There's a looming crisis of balance of payments. He will most probably need to go back to the IMF for a rescue package. He needs to address Pakistan's energy crisis. So there are a number of challenges which he needs to address in the first few months in his office.
Tell me about the energy crisis. What's the pressing issue right now?
Well, basically, Pakistan's population is growing fast, and the demand is growing. There are factories which were shut down in the last few years because there are power outages for 12 to 14 hours. There's also a crisis of natural gas. A lot of people drive their cars on compressed natural gas, and the government essentially resorted to rationing CNG. So it's everyday misery of having to put up with, you know, not enough fuel to run your cars on, not having electricity at home. And if you are in business, you know, if you rely on generators, then obviously your costs go way up.
The BBC's Shazeb Jilani speaking from Pakistan's commercial capital, Karachi. Mr. Jilani, thank you.
Thank you.
Now let's do the numbers. Right now, the FTSE in London is down 0.3%. Japan's Nikkei closed up 1.2%. And in Pakistan after the election, the key stock index in Karachi was trading up 1.6%.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
Crossword puzzle competition, science fairs. Now there's a competition for those of you who know your way around a skill saw, pipe bender, or MIG-TIG welding. It's put together by the Associated Builders and Contractors Trade Group. Mitty Cannon is a fan of the competition. As director of workforce development for the construction and engineering firm Robbins & Morton, it's her job to recruit people into booming fields such as carpentry and plumbing. She was at the latest National Craft Championship that's just wrapped up in Birmingham, Alabama.
If you were at the competition here in Birmingham, you would have seen electricians, you would have seen insulators, carpenters, welders. They may be, you know, building a board for the electricians that would require them to power up a light, or they may have to run conduit or do terminations. The pipe fitters may have to cut out different shapes and use different couplings and flanges in order to do a fit up and do some fabrication.
Now, this is about rewarding excellence, clearly, but what's the point of the competition? Is it to get people energized by this field?
The point of the competition is a great way to expose the different career opportunities that are in the construction industry. Also, it's a great opportunity for us to expose the talent of these skilled craft people. They're out there incorporating all of their decision-making skills, their mathematical skills, they're using their science skills, their advanced technology skills to perform these tasks. And so it's very important that we let people, parents, family members, members of various communities realize that there are so many career opportunities that are out there in the construction industry.
Tell me more about your career trajectory. You have a PhD now, right?
Correct.
But you came to this field in an unconventional way.
I did. My first job site was in South Georgia, and was curious one day as I was working in my office, because I was in management, and I was not permitted to go out into the field to where all the work was going on. But years down the road, and after a marriage, I married an electrical engineer, and I convinced him that I wanted to go on a job site, and he agreed with me that if I found a job for us to go to, that he would take a leave of absence from his job, and he would go to work as a journeyman electrician, and I would go as his helper. He never really thought that I would ever be able to pull it off, and I did prove him wrong. So eventually I did talk to someone who was willing to hire us, and so we went to a shutdown, and my first day there, I loved it. I discovered what was going on the other side of the gate, and it was something that I was just really fascinated about.
But it's so interesting. You came up with a system where you essentially apprenticed with your own spouse.
Yes, and that is not uncommon today, because you see a lot of father and sons and wife and daughter. It's a family environment when you're working on a construction site.
Dr. Mitty Cannon is Director of Workforce Development at Robbins & Wharton. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And if only babies were born with a USB port. Hot on the heels of news that of pajamas that read bedtime stories comes word of a device in Brazil that tweets a message when the little shaver has wet the diaper. It's from the Brazil unit of Huggies, the disposable diaper company. Presumably, the tweets are meant to send a yellow alert to mom, dad, or the caregiver, and are not meant to boast to the entire world about the baby's achievement. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.